Ephesians, the fifth chapter, and I want to talk to you. I guess it would be part two of spirit fullness, being filled with the Spirit. And we focused on chapter five and the first verses there that talked about ways to empty the Spirit from you. And again, we're not talking about a child of God born of the Spirit dismissing the Spirit and going to hell. That's not even on the table. It's not even on the radar. We're talking about born-again children of God who can do things, as I have, as you no doubt have, to dismiss the Spirit or not accommodate the Spirit of God. Fruits of darkness were fornication, a sexual sin. As I said last week, we're saturated with that in our society. All uncleanness, covetousness, filthiness, obscenity, foolish talking. That was the basic Greek phrase for that was moron logic, which I liken that to most of what you see on social media. Then there was jesting, which someone being too witty and too much of a smart aleck. Whoremongers, unclean persons, covetous people who are idolaters. And down in verse 6, he says, be not deceived. Let no man deceive you. These are things that will empty or dismiss the Spirit of God from your life in the presence of guidance and counsel. The Spirit of God will not tolerate these things. And notice he says in verse 8, for ye were sometimes darkness. I'm so glad he puts things like that in there, because this is not a legalistic, pharisaical, you know, you're better than some, the people that have never done these things are better than other people. Listen, he says, for ye were that way. There's not a thing that is listed in the New Testament, of one of which or more, that some of us haven't done. You say, well, I've never murdered anybody. I get that. But if you think ill towards a brother or a sister in your heart, that is a form of murder. You understand? You kill someone, but you can kill and assassinate their reputation by speaking ill of them, gossiping about them, backbiting about them. He said, we have done these things. He says, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. And we're talking about not being deceived. Somebody says, well, I can live this way and still partake of God's presence. That is a person who is deceived. You cannot do that. He says, you were sometimes darkness. People in whom darkness becomes visible and holds sway. That's what that means. And you know, there's not that many advantages, I don't think, to social media, but that might be one advantage of social media. Because when somebody starts posting things or putting things out there that don't normally comport or comply with their normal way of doing things, we would say, well, there's a midlife crisis going on. But when you see things out of the ordinary that person is not prone to normally do, that is an indication that someone may have darkness influencing them. So there might be some advantage to Facebook and things like that. When you see somebody, wait a minute now, I need to go talk to so-and-so because look what they're posting. Surely the rest of you have had these thoughts. I'm not the only one here, surely. So instead of being influenced and overtaken by darkness, verse 8, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord, he tells us to be filled with the Spirit. And I specifically point you, just for the lack of time, down to verse 18, where he says, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. That's where our text, spirit fullness, comes from. How do I be filled with the Spirit? I cannot fill my life with those type of activities that are listed there that says it dismisses the Spirit. It takes the Spirit away in the sense of I'm not going to accommodate the Spirit in my life anymore because I'm doing these things. He says, for the fruit of the Spirit, verse 9, is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. Goodness just means things that are useful and beneficent or appropriate. Righteousness means the state of him who is as he ought to be, which you never are going to fully be just exactly as you ought to be until you're resurrected one day and you have that resurrected body. You'll be perfect then. But until then, there's not a line in the Scripture that says quit. The Scripture says to continue to strive to be what you ought to be. It's a correctness of thinking and feeling and acting. And the standard of that correctness of thinking, feeling, and acting is the Word of God. God is the standard of that correctness. So whatever he says is right, for example, Thou shalt not lie. You're not supposed to lie. We don't tell lies. The Lord says that is the standard, is do not lie. So we don't question that standard. The second thing it says there is proving what is acceptable to the Lord. If you follow those things, if you seek those three things, I'm going to seek goodness, I'm going to seek righteousness, and I'm going to seek truth. That was the third thing listed there. Then you will find out what the Spirit of God approves. You will find that out. Prove means to test. Test the Spirit of God. When you come across a situation or an idea or a direction, test that direction by the Spirit of God. And if it's in the direction of goodness and righteousness and truth, well, then you may be on the right track. Prove the Spirit. That which is fully agreeable to the Spirit of God invites the Spirit of God. That makes sense, doesn't it? Now, the third thing he says there, verse 11, he says, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Those are two different words, prove and reprove. Prove means to test. Reprove means to expose. And the root word basically means to tell a fault. Now, who in the world likes to be reprimanded? Nobody likes that. Now look, this is wrong. You don't need to be doing this. What about when the children are small? From the first time they're able to even understand what you're saying, you know, they don't want to be reproved. They don't want to have a fault told to them. This is wrong. You can't poke your brother in the eye with your little toy. You know, that's not right. And somebody gets in trouble. We just don't naturally want to be reproved. I'm telling you, that is so essential to repentance. That is essential to say, well, I didn't even know I was doing wrong in this situation. Don't tell a lie. That's pretty simple. That's pretty easy to see. But to reprove means to tell a fault. If you have a finely tuned internal gauge within you that's balanced by the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, a finely tuned internal gauge balanced by the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, it is much easier to test and reprove something. This is right, this is wrong. It makes me think of the whet rock that my dad had to sharpen knives on. There were many nights we would sit there at his feet when I was a child, and you'd hear the scraping of that blade go across the whet rock. He had a big whet rock, and he'd sharpen that pocket. The reason I carry a pocket knife in my pocket today everywhere I go is because my dad carried one, and he would sharpen that whet rock, and he'd get that knife so sharp that it could just cut down whatever you wanted to cut. A piece of paper, it could just slice through a piece of paper. He could probably shave with it. It was so sharp. That's what the Holy Spirit, that's what the Word of God will do for you if you finely tune it. How? By being filled with the Spirit, by pursuing righteousness, by pursuing those things that are true, and pursuing goodness. It invites the Holy Spirit. It sharpens your mind. Or maybe you're like I have been at times and you rationalize things. Think about in the Old Testament, I'm thinking of do not lie, where, you know, the Word of God is clear. Don't bear false witness. Don't lie. And I've heard this argument before, or this brought forth in the Old Testament. Rahab, the harlot, when she took the spies in, you remember, and she hid them so they wouldn't be murdered by the local king there at Jericho. So Rahab, they come to her house and they say, where are those men that came in your house? And from a technical standpoint, Rahab lies. She says, they're not here, they've gone out. And I've heard that kicked back around and forth all through, ever since I've been in the ministry. Oh, you know, well, she lied. And then people will use that, which I'm telling you, it was not a lie, okay? But people will use that and they'll say, well, that was a lie. And they rationalize their own lie. You get that? We can look at the Scripture and wrest it to our destruction and rationalize what we try to do or say or how we act. Adam did the same thing. He tried to rationalize that he had taken the fruit from Eve and eaten it when he was responsible for that. How? He rationalizes it by saying, hey, it's your fault, God. You gave me this woman. That's rationalizing. So, well, it's just a little white lie, you know. And Rahab, you know, didn't she technically tell a lie over there in the Old Testament? Well, there was a situation. Listen, when we start rationalizing things, we're in trouble. We are in trouble. Or maybe we numb ourselves or cauterize ourselves from excessive activity. You just tell one lie, and then you tell another lie, and then you tell another lie. It just becomes easy to do it. Fill in the blank of whatever sin you want to put in there from that list that's given. And other, that's not even an exhaustive list. But whatever sin it is, you will cauterize yourself, but you won't feel anymore from doing that sin again and again and again. Or maybe you sensationalize the sin. I'm trying to think of an example of how sin can become sensational. Well, one way is we're saturated with sin from social media to the shows that are on TV. You know, there's no more Andy Griffiths, that's for sure. Sister Tracy and I have stumbled upon a show that for the most part, it seems to, you know, for the most part. I mean, you could say the same thing about Andy Griffith because, you know, didn't Andy smoke in there, you know? Well, you know, for the most part, Andy Griffith is okay, but there's that little bit of smoking going on, you know? Everything is like that. But you it's so hard to find something where sin is not sensationalized. And we just get used to it, and we get numb to it. It cauterizes us. You can think about that not just in terms of social media and TV, but the people that you're around. You, if you're as a born-again child of God, and you encounter people in your life that have chronic sin issues, fill in the blank of whatever it might be. It might be sexual sin. It might be the sin of lying, backbiting, gossip, talking, you know, just in general. There's so many things you can fill in the blank. And if you think in your mind that you'll rub off on them, you'll have an influence on them, you are kidding yourself. Without a doubt, without question, the chronic sin of anybody that you put yourself around is going to eventually consume you. I know whereof I speak. And you know what it leads to? It leads to just becoming mummified. You just become wrapped in all of that sin, and the next thing you know, you're lying down with the dead of this world that care nothing for God. By the way, that's what he says, all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever that doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake, thou that sleepest. How many of God's children are sleeping among the dead of this world that have no, they're not cauterized because they have no feeling towards God, and they embrace sensational sin, and God's people are just lying down among the zombies of this world. Lord, help us to be spirit-filled and to be sensitive and have that balance within our life and our heart and our mind, balance from the Holy Spirit, balance from the Word of God that says this is right, this is wrong. I tell you, I know whereof I speak. I've been there. Y'all are probably tired of hearing my examples, but give me some of yours. Okay, I'm running out of material. Okay, give me some of your material. I'll be happy to use it. I'll do it anonymously. But back when I was playing music professionally and pursuing that, when I first started playing, I thought to myself, well, you know, there's just not that many places that you can play. Appropriate places, not bars and not places that are inappropriate. And I remember rationalizing in my own mind, I don't drink, I don't smoke, I'm not chasing women, I'm not, you know, trying to do drugs. I just want to play my music. And so I think, I'll rationalize it because I'm not doing those things. I'll go down there and I'll be okay playing in those places. I rationalized it and it began to cauterize me. I began to become numb to playing in places like that. Are y'all with me? Fill in the blank on whatever sin it is you struggle with. And then, as a little bit of notoriety came along, it got out that I was doing those things. I sensationalized it in my mind. Well, now I'm kind of stuck. I've got to do this because, you know, this is just what I do. And eventually, I just laid down and was mummified with the dead. Y'all hear me? So you know what happened? Holy Spirit comes along. Wake up! Did that wake y'all up? I think a few of you were back there praying. You're awake now. Wake up! Awake! And he says, and arise. I tell you what, when I think back on my own personal experience, I don't think it was like a door kicked open where, oh my goodness. No, I think the Holy Spirit, I think the door just barely creaked and cracked open and a little bit of Holy Spirit light comes in there. Wake up, 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 until it's wake up. Get up, man. You're to not to lie among the dead of this world. Child of God, you're not to be mummified with the dead of this world. Let the Holy Spirit move you, direct you, and guide you. And I'm not talking about some emotional sensationalism. I'm talking about in the Word of God. It will direct you who to be friends with, who to interact with, what to do with your life, what direction to go, how to serve the people of God, how to serve those that are around you, how to interact with your family, what decisions to make. That's what the Holy Spirit says. Awake! I remember Brother Jonah was preaching to us here this morning. The Holy Spirit was there on that day. Wake up, people! You have crucified the Son of God. You're a sinner. You've crucified Him. Wake up! And I'll tell you what, about 3,000 people woke up, didn't they? And they were baptized, and they followed the Lord in the New Testament church. I tell you, we need to wake up more than anything for as children of God in this life. Wake up to the friendships that you have. Are they good? Are they bad? Are they productive? Are they non-productive? Wake up to your role in the church of God. Am I interacting the way that I should? Am I engaging the way that I should? Don't lie among the dead. Oh, child of God, the Lord's got a glorious purpose for you one day when He calls and He wakes up all that are in the graves and they take on their immortal bodies and stand before Him. Praise God, what a glorious time. But He has glorious purpose for you right now among the fruit of the Spirit, which is righteousness, and it's all in which is righteousness, and it's in goodness, and it's in truth. Those are the things that He has for you now. He says, awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, verse 14, and Christ will give thee light. You know, that makes me think of James, where he says, draw near to me, and I will draw near to you. It says for you, as a born-again child of God, draw near to Him first. I think back on my own experience about that. How did that little door crack open for me at one point in my life? And let me just say this. Once repentance comes, like we've heard, it's not a one-time thing. It's over and over and over. It's a daily walk for the child of God. But I remember when how did that little door crack open? We decided one Sunday morning to go to Bethel Church in Nashville. I didn't know there was a Primitive Baptist Church in Nashville. Shame on me. So we go there, and that little door cracked open just a little bit, and I began to hear a man preach the gospel, and it was starting to sort of wake me up. What's going on with my life? What am I doing with myself? Am I helping people? Am I hurting people? Am I stepping on those around me? Or am I lifting my brothers up who are weak, need, and trembling eyes and body and mind? Awake, thou that sleepest. Arise from the dead. Don't lie mummified with the dead anymore. Christ will give you light as you raise up yourself from lying among the dead. More and more light comes to you. Some of you think about the experience that you've had in coming to see the truth through the years. There's not very many people under the sound of my voice that haven't experienced that, where you had some light and the Lord began to expand that light, and the bigger the light got, the more it overtook your mind and your thinking, and praise be to God, it was just an event that just overwhelms you. Who am I and what is my life? And what am I that the Lord has brought this truth to me? That's the way we ought to view these things. Wake up. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. The oldest manuscripts where it says awake, it means up. That's what they would say when they would come and wake you up. It's like when the angel came to Peter and he was in prison and he was laying there asleep with the chains around him in the middle of the night. And the angel says, up, get up, man. And the chains fall off. He gets up and he walks out. That's what the Holy Spirit is saying to you. I'm saying that to you as a minister of the gospel this morning because that's what the Word of God says. But in your heart, it's not just me. It's the Holy Spirit saying, up, be about the business of the Lord. Up, awake, and arise, and you'll get more and more light. See that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, as wise, redeeming the time, for the days are evil. You don't have much time left to serve the Lord. Some of you who are on up in age are saying, that's the truth. And some of you who are young saying, yeah, I got time. I got next week. I got the week after. Let me tell you something. It's gone just like that. It's gone with a snap. And the next thing you know, you're an old grandpa. How did that happen? My goodness. I still feel young. I still feel as though I'm in the young category, but I'm not. In reality, I'm running out of time. I want to redeem the time. I want to wake up and follow the Lord. Examine my life and see about my friend circles and see about my church circles and see about my work situation and who I'm interacting with. Am I studying the Word of God on a daily basis? Am I interacting with the saints of God on a daily basis? God has given us these gifts. that we can use and rejoice in. And we just fall back to sleep. And we're mummified, lying among the dead. Being filled with the Spirit means to be crammed to the brim like an empty vessel would overflow. Don't you want to overflow as filled vessels from the Spirit of God? I tell my children, speak to the Holy Spirit. Speak to the Holy Spirit. It's in your heart. We sang that song this morning. He lives within my heart. He confirms to you what the Word of God says. Speak to the Holy Spirit. Lord, guide me. Lord, show me. Lord, help me. Lord, teach me. I don't want to lie among the dead. Be not drunk with wine, verse 18, where it is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. How can I be filled with the Spirit? I'm going to give you four things, and maybe we'll talk about them some more. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Speaking to one another. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. You know that right there? That covered you folks that just won't sing at church. Did you know that? You know who you are. I know who you are because I see you sitting there. He says making melody in your heart. If you just can't utter, it doesn't matter if you make a beautiful note or not. He says make a joyful noise. If you just can't bring yourself to do that, the Lord covered you. Singing and making melody in your heart. You can make melody in your heart if you can't make it verbally. Speaking, singing, giving thanks. Always, for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and submitting. Submitting. Speaking, singing, thanking, and submitting. Submitting to who? Notice what he says. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Speaking, singing, thanking, and submitting one to another. You got problems today? There's no problem that you have that can't be dealt with. I didn't say completely done away with, but you have no problem that can't be dealt with outside of being filled with the Holy Spirit. The problem may resolve, but the filling of the Holy Spirit will resolve you within your heart. You get that? So whether the problem ends or it continues, the filling of the Holy Spirit is the key. Singing, speaking, thanking, and submitting. I really have more to say on that. And I may say some more next time I speak to you about that. But that is a key for every single born-again child of God. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Don't lie among the dead of this world. Awake. Rise up. Follow the Lord and seek those things that are the fruits of the Spirit. And your mind and your heart will clear up. And you'll glorify the Lord as you do that. One of the things, first things that a person can do that has never done it, is rise up and follow the Lord in New Testament baptism. That's an easy thing to do. And we give you that opportunity as we stand and sing.